This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Oski Talk, an unfortunately remote edition just because some travel things have pulled us apart. But it's our first episode of November. That means basketball and football to get into. So we'll get right into it with a front page. I'm Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone, and unfortunately, our last dad's weekend was spoiled by a Rutgers 20-14 win over Illinois. Now, actually, Pat, I'll let you get right into it. I'm sure you've got some thoughts.
Yeah, it was just a terrible game. Like, all around terrible game. I think it all starts, in my opinion, with the offensive line. They go from bodying guys they should not have bodied against Penn State to getting their ass kicked by Rutgers. They could not move the line of scrimmage 3 yards in this game. And that completely screwed up the run game, which is half our game. We had to throw the ball a little bit more, which was working. Brandon Peters was working. He had his best game of the year. And they could build off that. But they shouldn't have been forced to run the ball or to throw the ball so much. And on top of that, too, I really felt like the penalties for them screwed up the pass game. Like, they really – in that second half, when we had the lead and the ball was 14-10, we had the ball. They couldn't drive because every single drive would be negated by penalties. So, I don't know. I really felt like this game was on the offensive line, and that was sad to see.
Yeah, they lost the line of scrimmage pretty much all game long after you said last week pretty much dominated the line of scrimmage all game long. Illinois now 3-6 on the season. I will say a positive for me is the fact that the passing game wasn't a joke. It was pretty good. Brandon Peters, 190 yards on 14 completions, 2 touchdowns, one of which a 52-yarder to Isaiah Williams. Daniel Barker had a 26-yard touchdown. That was good. I think the issues, like you said, the offensive line was very bad. The defense got no sacks, no interceptions, no fumbles. That also can't happen.
Yeah, I felt like the defense wasn't terrible. I mean, you give up essentially 20 points, you should probably win the game.
True.
They were giving up yards. It was a little bit of the dual threat. It, clearly, there's like a miscommunication there. Whenever we have a dual threat quarterback, they seem to be able to get off runs and get pretty decent completion, short yardage completions. So, you know, that RPO offense with a little bit of a read option or a quarterback run option, it clearly throws our defense off. I felt like the defensive line too, this game all was lost at the line, I felt like, because the defensive line could not get any pressure to the quarterback either, which was sad because the last week against Penn State, they did. So, I don't know quite what it is. It's these games make me look make me look towards the future. I still believe the future is bright in Illinois. When you got guys and I really felt like Keith Randolph was off this game. And he's a guy I really, really like. I think he has a great future in Champaign. I mean, the guy's only considered a freshman now with COVID.
I believe so.
Yep. You know, he's got a long career in Champaign ahead of him, but he's got to get off these blocks and get to the quarterback a little bit more.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, I just double checked. Keith Randolph is considered a freshman. One of the biggest things when you look at this is the fact, and we hear it so much, especially with the type of football Brett Bielema wants to play. Games are won on the offensive line and games are won on the defensive line. And if those are the two things you are evaluating this game for Illinois, they did not play well. They really had two touchdowns in the second quarter. Every other quarter, they were held scoreless, and they got outgained by Rutgers. Rutgers had 13 more first downs. They had total yards almost 100 more. So I don't know, especially coming off of that Penn State win, this one was disappointing.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you can't do that from a recruiting standpoint, from a fan standpoint. If you're Brett Bielema, you want to win those games and then come home to Memorial Stadium and then beat Rutgers, a team that you've been – I mean, Lovie Smith was fairly successful at beating Rutgers, and he finished his career by beating Rutgers. So it's, I don't know, disappointing to see. Greg Schiano's bringing back Rutgers, though. It's not too bad of a loss, but still, like, I mean, come on. You got to win those games.
Yeah, it's the first time Illinois has lost to Rutgers since 2017. Like you mentioned, Greg Schiano, they're building. I think it's fair to say that Illinois is building too. He said, Brett Bielema said in his press conference on Monday, 3-6 isn't anywhere that we want to be, but we are seeing some positives that, you know, that are showing us that we're going in the right direction. He said November is a big month, and they've already talked to, I think, 14 players, if that number is correct, in the transfer portal already. So they're doing some work to improve.
Yeah, and did you hear Bielema offered a guy from Denmark, I believe?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Illinois offered a Danish player. I might be wrong here. Someone might have been pulling my leg. Someone let me know. Hey, I'm pretty sure they did. I'll double check. I'll look it up right now to double check. But I'm fairly certain they did do that. So there you go. He's looking abroad.
Looking abroad, that's where a few players on the team are from. Obviously, Chase and Sydney Brown from Canada, James McCourt from Ireland, and Blake Hayes from Australia. Those are the first four that come to mind. I'm sure there might be more on the team too, but it's an interesting place to look because they don't get as heavily recruited as some of the high school and JUCO players in the country. So you can tell he's pulling out all the stops.
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff. We'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, absolutely. This weekend, the Illini travel to Minnesota to take on the Golden Gophers, who might be the surprise of some people, lead the Big Ten West. They're 4-1, 6-2 overall, which is the best record in that section of the conference. Wisconsin, Purdue, and Iowa are right behind, tied at 3-2, and then Illinois at 2-4, Northwestern 1-4, Nebraska 1-5. This Minnesota team is no joke. They've kind of flown under the radar, but they've been really good. They've won four in a row. They run the ball really well despite being on their fourth string running back, and they defend the run really well. Two things that don't exactly bode well for the Illini.
No, not good at all. It's going to be tough playing this offense, I will admit. You know, when you look at the rest of the season, now it's six losses. You pretty much have to win every single game if you're going to play in the postseason. So every game matters a little bit more, I think, to these players now, but this offense is potent. They have a great quarterback that can dice up a Illinois secondary, and I think they probably will. Tanner Morgan has been fantastic in the past this year. He's kind of had a little bit of a regression. He's not playing up to the Heisman potential that I think a lot of people thought he would go into. How many years ago was that? Two years ago when they thought he would be at some more potential, but yeah, I don't think he's playing quite to that level anymore, but I digress. The run game is still positive. Ibrahim obviously went out earlier this year with a injury. He's out for the year. But backing him up has been Trey Potts, who's been pretty fantastic. A little bit more running back by committee. They have Marquise Irving too. He gets a couple carries. He's an Illinois boy as well, which of course, why can't I remember their head coach's name right now? This is bad. PJ Fleck. Sorry.
Yeah, we were just talking about him. Yeah.
He's my favorite. Yeah, he's my favorite head coach in the Big Ten. PJ Fleck recruits the hell out of Illinois and the Midwest all around. But yeah, those two running backs have been decent. Potts, I think, really blew up that Northwestern game. Their defense is good too. Their defense causes turnovers. That's a big part in that Northwestern game. I believe Minnesota scored their first touchdown off of a strip scoop and score. So that's another thing to watch out. If you're going to run the ball, and especially when it comes to Josh McCray, you know, he's a freshman. He's going to make those mistakes. Got to hold on to the ball. So that's kind of what I got to say about the Minnesota offense.
Yeah, they've had an interesting season. They got blown out by Minnesota, beat Miami, Ohio, and Colorado, got a tight loss to Bowling Green. I think that was the big surprise. That was back in September, but then rattled off four conference wins in a row in October over Purdue, Nebraska, Maryland, and Northwestern. Now they've got Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, and Wisconsin left. So some big games still left for them, but they're in the driver's seat to potentially win the Big Ten West and play in Indy for a chance to win the Big Ten. So they've obviously got their formula. They know how to win games. I think Brett Bielema said they're one of the only teams in the country that are top 15 in both total offense and total defense, or maybe it's top 15 in running and stopping the run, but regardless, this team knows how to win their football games. Like you said, PJ Fleck, really good coach, just got signed to, what is it, 7-year extension?
Yeah, I got a 7-year extension. No surprise there.
Yeah, so this is a really good team. And unfortunately, I think this is going to be a really tough matchup for Illinois.
Yeah, I don't really see Illinois winning this game. Defensively, they'll scoop and score. They will cause turnovers, so you got to be careful there. And frankly, since PJ Fleck has been on this team, has been coaching this team, they have been a momentum team. If they get an early turnover or they get something like that, they're not going to lose the game because they're able to carry over. The turnovers. They're able to keep momentum throughout a game. They do not lose. When they have momentum early. So don't make those mistakes early in the game. I do want to highlight one of their better players on defense, Mariano Sori Marine. He's pretty good. Linebacker. It's the two linebackers that you really got to watch out for, because Jack Gibbons as well. He's really freaking good. And he's been I don't think he's leading the team. He's second behind Mariano in tackles, but he's been really good as well. So those two guys got to watch out for in the linebacking crew. They're both excellent. And on top of that, too, in terms of defensive line, Tyler Newman's pretty damn good as well. My bad. He's a D-back. I'm thinking of Rush. I'm thinking of Thomas Rush. He's been fantastic. He's got the most sacks on the team at 4.5. So, look, they're going to try and force you to have turnovers. And if they do, they're going to capitalize on it.
All righty. Well, there's your little scouting report of Minnesota. How about we get into a score prediction? I'll go first. This is going to be the third time I'm picking against the Illini in my career. We know the first two times it went in Illinois' favor, upset of Wisconsin, upset of Penn State. I'm going to take Minnesota 28-22. I think Illinois stays in it. They're able to score a little bit, able to run the ball better than they did last week, but just not quite enough to beat Minnesota.
Yep, I have Illinois losing this one 31-21. I think they cover the spread. 14.5 right now. That's a little,
I believe
so. That's a little bit ridiculous. Illinois is in every game. So I think it could be close towards the end, but I just don't think you're going to be in a Minnesota team in Minnesota right now. Especially coming off a first week ranked.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a tough game. It'll be exciting to watch, kind of another benchmark point to see where this team is, but might be a tough one to win, especially with Minnesota in the thick of that Big Ten West race. So let's shift gears into Illini basketball. They were in action over the weekend on Friday night playing Indiana University of Pennsylvania. They played at State Farm Center, the second of two exhibition games, and Illinois beat them 94-79, outscored them by 7 in the first half and by 8 in the second half. Probably still too close for comfort against a Division II team.
Yeah, they let them in late. I don't know. This game to me was a reminder that, hey, we are good, but guess what? You can lose. You know, it's kind of one of those games, like, you can lose. Not great against the D2 team, but they are one of the better D2 teams. And I feel like what you learn from this is Coleman Hawkins is a little bit of a badass, and those 25 pounds have come in clutch, right? He is he's a bigger guy now. I think he wants to dominate his opponent a little bit more, and now he can. So and the other thing I think we learned too is Omar Payne in this past week. If you have to sub Kofi out, I think you put in Coleman Hawkins over Payne right now. And you go
with, and just get smaller.
A smaller lineup. Obviously, you have to go with that. But I don't think Coleman Hawkins is going to have that much trouble guarding those bigger guys. But I don't think Omar Payne is ready yet.
Yeah, he didn't look great. I was surprised that he didn't look great. I think you mentioned it. Coleman was really good. 16 points, 9 rebounds. There's a few things that I think my big takeaways are. Oh, and also Alfonso Plummer, 16 points. You can really see he's that microwave type player. He could really get it going for Illinois from the 3-point line. But my big takeaway, I've got two. First of all, this team's defense is so much different without Trent Frazier. And he went down very early with a shoulder injury, came back, took another shot. And when he missed that one, he clutched his shoulder and then spent the rest of the game on the bench. So looking at the way the team falls out without Frazier, I don't like it. That's a guy you need on the team. He underwent an MRI. I don't think we have the results for that, but we're hoping for the best from Frazier and his shoulder. Hopefully he's able to play.
I think they said he's good to go. Him and Devontae.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yes. And that game, the Illini, like you said, were also without Damonte Williams, who had a stiff back, and Austin Hutcherson, who had a bruised tailbone. So without those three guys who played a big role last year slash in the first exhibition game, the Illini went with a different lineup. They went Frazier, Grandison, Curbelo, Coleman Hawkins, Kofi Coburn. And then Frazier gets hurt, so Alfonso Plummer essentially becomes starter minutes for the rest of the game. So it's Plummer, Grandison, Curbelo, Hawkins, Coburn. Now we know Coburn is going to be suspended, and we'll get to that later. And so it'll probably end up being Frazier, Grandison, Curbelo, Damonte, Coleman, you think?
Because
that's a very small.
I think that's what you go with. I can't imagine they'll put Payne in. I don't think Brad Underwood thinks he's ready, and I agree with him on that.
But he'll need to play a lot.
Yeah, he will. And he'll come off the bench for sure. And I'm sure I'll get probably 22 minutes. But I think you start Coleman Hawkins, right? I mean, Coleman's shown he's got to just stretch the floor a little bit more. But defensively, you're playing against like a Jackson State, like, I think you're all right with that. And I think you're all right with that. Who's that next game? It's a North Carolina school, right?
It's Jackson State and then Arkansas State and then Marquette to start the year.
That's right. The Marquette game's the one I'm a little bit nervous about, but I'm not super nervous about. You know, they lost Austin Garcia. That program, and Shaka Smart's a great coach, don't get me wrong, and he'll do anything he can to win, but I don't know. That program's rebuilding right now. So I'm not super nervous about any of those games, but I think Coleman takes those Kofi minutes.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on that. My other takeaway from the game is that Andre Curbelo is both special and head scratching at the same time. He finished with one of the weirdest stat lines I think I've ever seen in a college basketball game. 14 points, 12 assists, 10 turnovers, and he fouled out with a technical. What was that?
Yeah, that was – I think that was just him being aggressive in that moment. Like, that when you're down like that and you're – you feel like you should be beating the crap out of them. Sometimes you get a little bit too into the game. You know what I mean? Like you're mad at yourself. So you want to take it out on somebody. I think that was a little bit of that situation.
Yeah. He was trying to do a ton on the court, obviously 14 points and 12 assists. He accounted for a lot of the Illini's points, but also coughed it up 10 times. So, you get what you get with Andre Curbelo, but he has to be better than that.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got to be a little bit better than that.
And the other thing I will say, too, I really like Luke Goody. He seems a step ahead of these freshmen in terms of IQ. He's the guy shouting from the bench defensive switches and offensive plans and things like that. And then when he comes out, he just has a natural, like, leadership quality to him. I really like him, and I see why in all three exhibitions he's been the most – minute getting freshman. And if Frazier is going to be banged up and not playing a lot, and Hutcherson and Williams both kind of recovering from injury, maybe not getting their full minute load, I think the Illini are in good hands with Luke Goody and Alfonso Plummer taking some of those minutes.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. We'll kind of see how it shapes out going into a couple more of these games. I think these exhibition games are great for seeing how guys work together and stuff, but you're absolutely right. And I think Luke Goody is the one guy in that group that I felt like would probably get minutes right away in terms, I mean, the freshman group. Sorry, I didn't make that clear. I felt like he's the guy who's going to get minutes right away. And I think there's a chance that Alfonso Plummer works his way into the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. He had 16 points, 3 3-point field goals made as well. And we'll move on. They got Jackson State on the docket on Tuesday. We'll talk about that on our next episode. But the Illini will be without Kofi Coburn. We hinted at it earlier. He has been suspended for the first three games of the season for violating the NCAA's rules about selling equipment and gear. Essentially, he violated name, image, and likeness rules before they got passed. The reason it's such a choppy situation, like, I'm sure your first thoughts are like, oh, well, he violated a rule, he should be suspended. But the thing is, it was after the season, his name was in the NBA draft. So in theory, he's a pro and professionals can do whatever they want with their gear. However, he ended up coming back to Illinois, therefore making selling stuff from the player's trunk a violation of the rule that doesn't exist anymore, but it did at the time. And so he's going to be suspended for the first three games. And although in theory he didn't break the rule, or in his mind he didn't think he was breaking the rule at the time, he will be suspended, and the Illini are not going to fight it. They'll be without him against Jackson State, Arkansas State, and Marquette.
Yeah, I think – yeah, you know, you can't fight it because it's going to happen. The NCAA is so slow and so utterly terrible at doing their job that they're not going to rule on this, right? They're not going to rule on this in time for the game. So it's not even worth petitioning it. And I will say this. He broke the rule. It is – I think my problem with the rule in the first place and the eventual suspension he got is that he didn't think – he, in his heart of hearts, did not think he was going to come back to college, right? That's exactly my problem. Like, he broke the rule when it was a rule. Now that's not a rule. It doesn't mean you get out. You know, you don't get the get-out-of-jail-free card, right? But it's that from a player – if the NCAA truly cares about his players, they know that in Kofi Coburn did not expect to come back, right?
Right.
He wants to play. He came back to play college ball instead of going professional or trying to take it overseas because he loves the game. He loves college football. He liked Illinois. I don't know. And that's where I don't like the suspension. I get he broke the rule. He deserves it. But to me, it's just like, if you care about the players, like you say you do, it's a pointless suspension. But And then my other problem with it was that it's a 3-game suspension. That's just wrong. It should not be a 3-game suspension. I felt like one or two, three was stretching it. They looked at the schedule and saw Marquette and were like, all right, we'll actually put a little pressure on players and teams to not do anything like this. And it's just BS, but he broke the rule. He's going to take the suspension.
They can't do anything like this because now it's allowed.
Right.
Which is another very interesting part of it. But I think you're right. I think the fact that they are going to make him pay back the money he made to charity would probably be good enough without a suspension. But they're still going to suspend him. It's going to be 3 games. We already talked about it. We expect to see a lot of Coleman Hawkins, more of Omar Payne during his absence. I'm glad that they did it early enough where it'll be the first 3 games of the season and not sprinkle it on Illinois in the middle of a Big Ten schedule or, God forbid, the NCAA tournament. So I'm glad it's coming now. The team should be okay without him, and it'll be a nice boost to get him back when he comes back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the team plays without him. They rallied when Dosunmu was gone last year. And also, speaking of Dosunmu, the Illini and Io got their rings on Friday. We didn't even touch on that. The banner got raised and the Illini got their rings. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. That was awesome. A good time. Add another year on that Big Ten championship banner. It was great. That was an awesome time. I unfortunately wasn't there to see it, but the rings look great. Everyday guys continues to be the mantra. We love that. And that was fun to see Io come back.
Yeah, so congratulations to all of them, and best of luck to Io to keep knocking down clutch shots in the NBA. But that'll do it for this edition of Oski Talk. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back on Sunday to break down the Illini-Minnesota football game and preview the Illinois against Jackson State basketball game coming up next Tuesday. But for now, thank you guys for listening. For Patrick, I'm Anthony, ILL.
I and I.